everybody. Mark Medina here, the Warriors beat writer with the Bay Area News Group, back with my friend and colleague Dieter Kurtenbach. This might be the end of the podcast, at least for a little bit, because it's the end of the Warriors season here. Yeah. Warriors losing game six to the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals, 114-110. And unlike these past years, the Warriors did not end the season with hoisting Larry O'Brien a trophy, spraying each other with champagne. Instead, they lost in six games, and I think you can look at this through two prisms, Dieter. Toronto Raptors, really good team, a lot of good depth. But moving forward, not only are there questions about free agency, but the top free agents that the Warriors have, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, that are having debilitating injuries. Kevin Durant, as we know, entering game six, was going to be out because he just had surgery on a ruptured right Achilles tendon. There was no formal timeline, but most players take about 8 to 12 months to come back. So you're looking at Kevin Durant coming back either midway through next season or missing the season entirely. Klay Thompson just had a torn ACL in his left knee. No timetable there, but usually it takes about 8 months or so, so he'll be back midway through the season. Where do the Warriors go from here with this?
They're in a pickle, because those are obviously two of their best players. That goes without saying. Who knows if Kevin's coming back or not, but if Kevin is back, he might not play at all next year. In fact, that would be the good bet. Klay, you're not getting, as you mentioned, until after midseason at best. This puts the Warriors in one hell of a predicament. I think we both feel comfortable in saying that Klay's coming back. Kevin's still a wild card. Obviously, the injury only exacerbates that peculiarity. And then DeMarcus Cousins, too, who's a free agent as well. The NBA draft's at the end of this month. It's coming up here pretty soon.
It's not even the end of this month. It's in exactly a week.
I mean, they have to absolutely 100% nail their draft pick. That goes without saying. It was the case well before these injuries, but like, that could be a starter. They need to bring in an extra body or two beyond what they were already expecting to have to do with the veterans minimum and the mid-level exception. They have to absolutely nail this offseason, because as Adrian Wojnarowski reported, commented online when he went out and broke the Klay ACL news, the Warriors are going to probably have a difficult time making the playoffs next year. It'll be Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Andre Iguodala, who, as we saw, will probably have to load manage again. We don't know if Sean Livingston's coming back. Jacob Evans. I mean, who are we dealing with here? Damian Lee. We got two, and everybody else is a complete wild card. So the Warriors are Bob Myers is going to earn his money this offseason. This is a spot that the Warriors have not been in a very, very long time. And actually, you can easily say they've never been in a spot like this before. It's never going to be necessarily the same way it once was.
Yeah, and I think one of the biggest indicators that this is going to be different moving forward, a few of us, including myself, talked to Warriors majority owner Joe Lacob after tonight's game, obviously disappointed with the fact that they weren't able to win the finals. They're having all these injuries. And unsurprisingly, he was talking with Bob Myers about the draft and free agency. That's usually what they do even when they win. The language that struck me is usually in the past, Joe was always, he epitomized that venture capitalist, like it's all or nothing, and anything less than that is a failure. And in this case, it's always about championships. And he talked about how he doesn't think this is the end of the run, but his language was saying, I'm pretty optimistic we'll be very competitive. And that's a much different, I think, benchmark than it was in the past of winning championships. This reminds me of something I explored a little bit last year before all this came about, of are the Warriors going to be entering this crossroads of being able to be this dynastic force year after year where, hey, they're stringing off a bunch of titles in a row, or will they wind up going down the San Antonio Spurs route where when you looked at them in the early 2000s, they had that core group of players. First it was Tim Duncan and David Robinson, then they transitioned where it's Tim Duncan, Monte Ginobili, and Tony Parker. And then the latter part was, a combination of Tim Duncan, Kawhi Leonard, Monte Ginobili, and Tony Parker. And it sounded like, talking to the Warriors, that they felt like that was the most realistic route to take, because they know these guys are going to get older. It's going to be more expensive to keep them. And that's going to be interesting. Can they kind of keep that nucleus with Steph, Draymond, and Klay while building around the fringes and having them evolve as they get older. That's a very interesting challenge.
Well, it will also require some player development. And let's be honest, they haven't really done a great job of that in recent years. This was supposed to be the year of the young player. And yet, where were the young players in crunch time when Klay Thompson goes down and there's no Kevin Durant? You didn't see it. I hate to pile on Jacob Evans. It's certainly not the only example, but he was supposed to be an impact player this year. That's why the Warriors drafted him and not a more high ceiling prospect. Damian Jones got injured, but he really wasn't filling the role that many expected him to as a center in his first year starting. You wonder what would have happened if Damian Lee had gotten on the roster, because you were playing Quinn Cook, or Steve Kerr was playing Quinn Cook as a wing in this, and he's 5'11". So the Warriors have not done – Alphonso McKinney was rather unplayable in Game 6. The Warriors have not done a great job outside of perhaps Kevon Looney, and they had to be extremely patient and almost lost the guy in developing young talent. And that's just something – this is a big offseason. You're going to need McKinney to really take another step. In a big way, and be a reliable everyday rotation player, but on this team, a starter most likely next year. You need to get a veteran or two who can give you 20-plus minutes per game, and you need to develop some players. Now, if that's Evans as a point guard or a combo guard, great, but you need to get a couple of people to make a big jump, and you got to draft some guys. I mean, the reason that the Spurs were able to stay so good for so long is because Kawhi Leonard was not a lottery pick. They get guys like DeJounte Murray and Derek White, and they develop them. They know what they're looking for, and they put them in systems to where they can be extremely successful. But they develop those guys in-house, and the Warriors certainly have money coming out of their ears. That's only going to continue with the new Chase Center. They already spend on the coaching staff, but the coaching staff is not producing, or it has not produced to this point, the same way that the San Antonio staff, top to bottom, has produced. And frankly, if they are going to match that Spurs dynasty, and I think that of the two options, that's the more likely one, given what's going to happen next year, even if Kevin and Kate and Klay both re-sign, the coaching staff is going to have to spearhead that movement just because of where this roster is at and what happens from here.
Yeah, it's all fair points, but I think the good thing with the Warriors is I don't think that philosophically they need a change. I think that to their credit, beyond the fact that they have star power, I think that they have put the resources in player development and taking the G League seriously. I think really what it comes down to is for how great the front office is, they've missed on late picks. It's hard to hit on those picks because they're late round picks for a reason. It's a wild card. They haven't been able to find the right fit for those guys. I think the coaching staff has done great with player development. I think it's really how well can they work within the framework. Like, they are not pinching money by any means. They're willing to spend. The only reason why they're limited to veteran minimums and the taxpayer mid-level exception is that's the rules of the salary cap, right, and the CBA. This huge move that they made this past offseason with DeMarcus Cousins, it was kind of a mixed review of things, but I don't know what the better alternative would have been. It would have been, yeah, you go shore up your wing, but I'm looking at the market last season. I think the only other viable option that they were talking to was Tyreke Evans, and he had already been on record saying that he wanted to get his numbers.
Also, I'm pretty sure Tyreke Evans has been banned from the NBA in recent weeks.
Yeah.
I think we all missed that in the playoffs, but I'm pretty sure Tyreke Evans failed another PED test and literally got banned from the NBA. So I guess it happened after the season, but that would have been a bad sign for a guy to get banned from the entire NBA during the postseason. You talk about injuries, that's next level stuff.
Yeah, that being said, I mean, DeMarcus Cousins was saying he's open to coming back, and even though financially it'll be a challenge, he was mindful of what happened last year. But I don't know if the Warriors are going to go down that route. I think all things considered, they were happy with what they got with him, but I don't think happy enough that they think, hey, this is good to do moving forward. I think that they're really going to try to overhaul everything to bolster the bench, because Andre Iguodala is probably the only lone likelihood guy of him coming back, and it's going to be, him being, taken care of pretty well during the regular season, so you can have performances like this in the postseason. Other than that, it could be a blank cupboard beyond re-signing Kevon Looney.
Yeah, I think McKinney will be back. He has a second year here. I'm pretty sure it's non-guaranteed. I can't imagine the Warriors wouldn't pick it up. At this point, they need bodies. Yeah, it will be fascinating to see what Bob Myers does. This is a level of finesse that he hasn't had to show up until this point, I would argue. And if he decides to go old or young will be interesting to me, because obviously the Warriors should reel a little bit from going, you know, from the fact that they tried to go young this year and it didn't work out. And do they try that again, or do they just say, okay, let's go kind of latter stage San Antonio and bring in the Rudy Gays of the world and see what happens from there? Because if they can re-sign KD, if they can re-sign Klay, they'll think to themselves, all we need to do is tread water. All we need to do is get into the tournament at the end of the year. And then maybe we get both of these guys back, and then now we have our team back on the whole. It probably a bit too aggressive to speculate on any specific moves. I agree with you that Cousins is probably one and done here. It's nice to hear, I suppose, that he's interested in coming back. I'm not sure what kind of a market he will actually have. He did fairly decently for himself in these NBA finals, but he still looks really limited. And off of that quad injury, there's going to be even more concerns.
Yeah, but I think his market is going to be much more than $5.3 million, much more than $6.3 million, which is what the Warriors can offer. And let's be real, the Knicks and the Lakers are carving out cap space, and they might not use it correctly.
I don't know if they're carving it out for him, but they might end up having to go to the table for him when it's all said and done. If that's the case, then I don't think we need to worry too much about the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors playing in the NBA Finals if he ends up down south. Listen, someone has already come through in my mentions, and I don't like to, you know, bring it up or whatever, but like the tank next season talk has already begun. And it's,
wait, it has?
Oh, yeah. And it's preposterous. When you have Stephen Curry, you don't tank. When you have Draymond Green, you don't tank. Not where they're at. And there's no reason to. You can,
especially when you're going to Chase Center.
Yeah. That would be a, well, hey, we already got your money. Enjoy this 20-win season. I guess that's what Sacramento did. The Warriors, absolutely. I mean, it will be difficult for them to make the playoffs. They will not be able to coast their way into the number one seed again. They will join the meaty middle of the NBA, where there will just be a lot of really good teams and no juggernaut. Again, that is wildly different from where we've been the last 3 years and arguably the last four. And certainly this team will not be as good as it was in 2015 when it was a bunch of young guys coming up and people expected more of them than that one round of the playoffs, but maybe not the finals, but there were high expectations that they should get better in that season. So this is a whole new territory, and it requires different kinds of dance moves to handle it, and I'm eminently fascinated. It sucks that the Warriors are in this situation. Certainly Klay Thompson doesn't deserve what happened to him, nor does Kevin Durant. I mean, those injuries are just absolutely tragic and totally unfair. That is, we can get into all of the conversation about 6.5 seasons of basketball over the course of five and what it meant. It all came together in a really cosmically tragic manner. Luckily, basketball doesn't sleep, because this is going to be even more interesting than the eminently interesting offseason that we already thought we were going to get. We just got layers and layers and layers added on to it.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm struck with these injuries, because usually the way, you know, championship dynasties end, it's either egos and personalities clashing. We certainly had a little bit of that with Draymond and Kevin, but I think the personalities didn't clash as much because A, Golden State has a really good culture, but B, when you're looking at these core guys, like, each player had its own distinct skill set that didn't overlap each other. Mm-hmm. It complemented each other. So there's less friction there than maybe some other teams in the past where there's kind of a push-pull in roles. And then secondly, it's health. And the thing that I always thought that the Warriors had an advantage of is, as much as they've had this long championship run, it was unique to past championship seasons where you didn't have guys in their mid to late 30s playing a lot of basketball. All these guys are in their prime, their late 20s, early 30s. But now it's almost like an early indicator that this is going to be a thing that's going to be an issue moving forward as far as health. Like, what's to say that Draymond's not going to start having something, or Steph, because they're getting older, and also they've had the accumulation. So when it pertains to Kevin and Clay, please don't get it twisted. There is no expectation around the league that Kevin's not going to get a max deal, whether right. it's re-signing here or going somewhere else. Like yeah. he's going to get the 5-year, $221 million or the 4-year, $164 million. As far as Clay, I mean, it's a little too early to say just because it happened right now, but I would be surprised that he still doesn't get max offers because he's younger.
Yeah.
I think
and we've seen dudes come back from ACL injuries yeah. without that much incident.
Right, but I think what will be fascinating is to what extent will that factor into not only their free agency decisions, but anyone else that teams up with them. So I think for Kevin, that's going to be hard. Like, on one hand, I can see maybe he thinks that fifth year is more valuable because Achilles injuries are no joke, and if you can get guaranteed money. Or does he think, hey, like, I don't know if I trust these guys who handled my injury. Now, I think that's unfair because these guys have handled injuries pretty well. But
I guess we'll find out.
I guess we'll find out. I mean, the only thing that we've gotten insight from Kevin is what he mentioned on Instagram. He owned up like he wanted to be out there. So if nothing else, at least shows that he had a part in the say.
Yeah, I never saw a gun to Kevin's head, like, get out there or else. Like, he's a right. full-grown man. He had his own doctors look at the injury. It was a collaborative effort, as Bob Myers said. It happened. Crap happens.
Right. So I think if he goes elsewhere, teams will still give him the max. Does that affect anyone he's trying to recruit? Do they think, hey, I don't know if I want to team up with Kevin? That's going to be a very interesting thing.
I mean, you also think about the Lakers, right, for Clay. So Clay is not going to miss with this ACL injury if it goes the same way everyone else's ACL injury goes. First off, we think Clay's coming back. He's given no indication that he wants to leave. I can't imagine the injury circumstance changes his mind at all. But let's just say, regarding the offers that he'll get, there will certainly be plenty of teams that will throw in max contract offers to Clay Thompson. He's Clay Thompson. He's awesome. Why wouldn't you want him on your team? Will the Los Angeles Lakers even be one of those? Because you only get so many years of LeBron's prime, and now you're going to sort of throw half of one away or three quarters of one away because you have to wait for Klay Thompson. Same thing for Kevin Durant, even though that was never going to happen. Kyrie Irving, a lot of talk about him going to Brooklyn. Does Kyrie want to, you know, join a team who's going to use the other max spot on a guy who's not going to play at all next year and might never even be close to the same player again? I mean, we've never seen a guy come back from an Achilles injury and be better, much less the same guy. I'm glad you brought that up. It brings a lot of intrigue. I have heard some people speculate that Kevin could opt into the contract. That doesn't make much sense to me because – okay, yes, $30 million, but then he's sort of in the same spot he's in right now going into next year. He's just healthier, but no one really knows what that looks like. And so if I'm Kevin, I'm thinking, damn, I better – if people are going to throw out full max contracts on hope and stuff, I better maximize my value.
Yeah, I don't see Kevin opting out of that $31 million player option. I'm just thinking out loud, the only scenario is if – they determine, hey, he's going to be out for the season. Maybe he just wants to rehab on Golden State's company time and then be open. But, you know, for max deals for everyone else, yeah, I don't see that scenario playing out.
Also, he can opt in. If he opts in, he gets 1 year. Okay, that's fine. I get it. You're doing it on Golden State's dime. You could also do it on Golden State's dime by getting $200 million.
But if he doesn't want to be here, that means he has to be there for 4 more years.
Well, then you go to the place that's going to give you the max contract away from here. If he doesn't want to be here, he doesn't want to be here, right? So why would you opt in? I guess you get $30 million free dollars, but someone's going to give him close to that money anyway. This man has taken less money his entire Golden State tenure. I don't see the logic in opting in for Kevin Durant. That doesn't mean that he's goner as a Warrior. I just don't see the logic in it.
Yeah, so the only thing I was trying to say is that he's not going to have as much pressure returning here as he would elsewhere with another team. So if it was about, hey, he's out for the season, but I don't see that happening anyway.
Also, is that going to be the case? Because think about where the Warriors might be come March, April of next year. They might be like, Kevin, if you're close, We might need another game five situation here where we need you back on the court. Oh, my Achilles isn't ready. You got to get out there, man. We're not going to make the playoffs if you don't show up. I mean, let's be honest. As much as, you know, DeMarcus Cousins was able to take as much time as he needed, that's because the Warriors were able to sleepwalk their way to the number one seed. Again, that's not going to happen next year. So all of those theoretical pressures, I guess they will never pressure him to go on the court in any way, shape, or form again, just out of deference to the mistake that was made, whether it was conscious or not, in game five. But man, yeah, you talk about the circumstances, they have drastically changed. And people are going to want to say, oh, is the dynasty over? I already saw some people saying the dynasty's done. Until the entirety of next season is over, we don't know. And probably the season after that, because if Kevin and Clay come back and they miss, let's say, all of next year and it's bunk and the Warriors make the playoffs and they kind of go out in a round or two, but then the next year they come out and win a championship, then we're talking about, oh, holy crap, they won 4-6 or 4-7. That's incredible. Like, that's dynastic. So don't write it off yet. But that said, stuff's getting hairy.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm looking at what they can do. They can only, again, whether they keep Kevin or not, their only spending mechanism that's going to be of significance is that mid-level. And I'm looking at the guys who are free agents that could be realistic. Mm-hmm. I mean, knock out the heavy hitters because they're not going to come to the mid-level, so don't even waste the time. Rudy Gay and Brook Lopez, I think, are good options. Like, Rudy Gay is a decent wing scorer, nice consolation if Kevin leaves. Brook Lopez is a much better fit as a center than I think DeMarcus. He can hit the threes. He fits this culture well. You know, those are just guys who are good, but they're not game changers. So it'll help them make competitive, but it doesn't, I don't think, drastically change anything.
They need three or four of those guys. Like, that's the thing. They need three or four mid-level players. What they really need, and I thought this kind of throughout the season, they needed somebody similar to David West who comes in on a minimum level contract and kind of outperforms it. And they really lacked his veteran leadership at some points this year, but they just lacked a reliable backup center who knew his role, knew what to do, and you could throw in there and trust a professional performance.
Yeah, and here's the problem with being able to get that. Like, the reason why the Warriors are able to entice someone like David West to get on the minimum deal is because they have a championship foundation already formed. Mm-hmm. You lose kind of that leverage to get guys to sign on minimum deals just for the sake of, hey, you can win a championship. So when you're looking at the rest of the bench, they're definitely going to try to keep Kevon Looney, and I think he'll stay. They'll pay him and reward him. But you're looking at Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, Damian Jones, and Alphonso McKinney are still under contract. So it's Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, and I feel like I'm missing someone. Jonas Jerebko, I don't see any of them returning. Maybe Quinn on a minimum deal, but I don't think any of those guys are going to break the bank for. And then philosophically, that opens the door. Do you want to get young? Do you need to have a mix of veterans? I think that the reason why they went young last year was, one, for better and for worse, they thought, okay, if they're going to keep this train moving, they have to develop young talent, knowing the salary cap, you know, limitations. But, B, they still had some veterans there with Andre, with Sean, obviously the All-Stars. But presuming Sean retires – and you have two All-Stars that are hurt, like, they're going to need some more veteran bodies.
I wouldn't be surprised if they brought Jordan back just because of the upside. But, yeah, they need dudes. You're right, it's going to be more difficult to sell dudes because they used to be able to say, come and win a ring. They can't promise that, especially when you consider we might need you to play serious minutes on this team. Maybe they can get some of those guys that are looking to get their numbers. Maybe that is enough of an enticement for DeMarcus Cousins to come back on that, you know, mid-level exception, because I honestly don't think he's going to have a very robust market. We'll see. You might be right in that he gets, you know, nine figures or whatever, or eight figures. We'll find out. But he probably has an opportunity to put up some serious points on this Warriors team next year if he does come back. But, man, yeah, this is just a very peculiar spot. Had Kevin never come back, right, had he just stayed on the sidelines, we would obviously still have a fascinating offseason. Had Clay not happened, had that not happened to Clay, and God, your heart breaks thinking about Clay going out like that this season. It's just really frustrating as someone who likes Clay a lot. Warriors run back Draymond, Clay, and Steph next year. You feel really good about it, but you lose Clay, and it just shows how much of a linchpin, just how much of a linchpin he is. Without him, what he provides on both ends of the court is just irreplaceable, especially for what they're going to have to, what they have to spend. Bob Myers has done a really good job. Certainly, as I mentioned earlier, there's some areas in which the overall organization has lacked in terms of results, not for lack of effort, but for results and not for lack of spending. This is a big one. This is a big one. They don't get this one right, and we really won't know if they get it right until the season's well underway. First season at Chase Center could be like the first season at Levi's Stadium for the 49ers, just turn it into a house of horrors.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, though, I think they have a difficult offseason to make, but the main things that they have to take care of with Clay, I think it's a no-brainer they bring him back, even if it's the worst-case scenario.
Max him out. You don't even think twice about it.
Yeah, even if it's the worst-case scenario that he's not the same player, you can always package him in a deal, kind of like what the Clippers did with Blake Griffin. I think the worst idea is, hey, you have these concerns about his injury, you let him go for the idea of having cap space, but once you stop having some kind of stability in the roster and a culture, you kind of lose leverage on that, even if you have Steph and Draymond.
And that's a lot of people will make some suggestions about trades, and I guess Andre Iguodala could theoretically be traded as he's under contract and makes enough money to where you could theoretically get something of worth back. But you think about, like, someone's going to suggest this in the next 48 hours, and it's going to be stupid, but let's shoot it down. Anthony Davis is very clearly on the trade block right now. The Warriors don't have anything that they can offer the New Orleans Pelicans that would be even remotely enticing compared to what Boston, who can make a trade on July 1st, and certainly the Lakers with their young roster and the number four overall pick, can give New Orleans for Davis. I mean, the Warriors are not even remotely close in the ballpark. What could they even offer? Oh, here's a... I mean,
they could always offer Steph and Draymond.
Yeah, maybe David Griffin will be interested in that.
Yeah, that'll be a really stupid move on Bob's part.
Listen, Bob might see the writing on the wall and decide we're burning it all the way down. Secret agent. You know, I saw Bob up in the stands at Oracle soaking in the final moments. And, God, I overheard some of what he was talking about in the locker room. I won't repeat it. He's pretty eaten up, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
You can only infer so much and then take it probably 10x to your inference as to how eaten up he is about this situation. Yeah, maybe he's a double agent all along, just working against Joe Lacob in the San Francisco move, a true son of the East Bay, holding it down for all of us Oaklanders.
You know, I pick up that vibe too. I talked with him a little bit, and I don't think it was just because I'm a media member and trying to ask about what's next in free agency and where they go from here. Joe was starting to talk about the direction, and he was just saying, I just need to go to bed. I'm tired. The draft's in a few days. I think he was just in that mode where it's like he's been pulling up all-nighters, and he just doesn't have time to think right now. But he was also trying to dodge the question a little bit, too.
It sounds like us. Let's call it a wrap on the 2018-2019 season. Hey, Mark, I guess we'll get into the offseason. We'll have plenty of content there. When it's all said and done, the only one team gets to stand at the end of the NBA postseason as a winner, and that's the Toronto Raptors. You can't take an asterisk and put it on this one. They whoop the Warriors' ass in this series, regardless of injury.
Without a doubt. And never want to make light about someone's injury, even when we don't have a rooting interest. We're just there to cover the stories. The one thing you never want to see, this guy's getting hurt, and so that was.
We root against injuries.
Yeah, I mean that's. It goes without saying. So it's a real shame to see guys like Kevin and Clay go down just out of human decency. I appreciate you guys sticking with us through the Warriors HQ podcast. We still have the Clay deal going on. What is that? 11 cents a day for the next 11 months. The season might be over. But it really isn't over because there's this whole thing called the draft and free agency that adds a whole other life to the NBA season. So it's still worth the time and the price to subscribe, 11 cents a day. You also get a free Warriors championship book. There's no championship book this year, unfortunately, for Warriors fans. But this might, you know, rekindle some nostalgia if you get last year's championship book. So we'll be sure to send you a copy if you hit the subscribe button. Again, 11 cents a day for the next 11 months. You can follow me, MarkG_Medina. Dieter is at DKurtenbach. And we also got this Warriors HQ podcast up and running everywhere. iTunes, Stitcher, Google, Spotify, wherever you can listen to podcasts. Be sure to subscribe and leave a rating review. Make sure it's good. Thanks for listening.